what happens if your life had already kind of quieted down, made up of the mundane, a breakfast, a trip to the mailbox, a return to a chair, flooded with memories and tears, taped up, restitched, a constant reminder of a life lived and a life now?
Did you bring any, like, items or artifacts that are really important to you?
No, I didn't bring anything.
So take a seat. Actually, take it all in. The space we are in, this is where we are. Homebound.
But if I were young enough, you definitely are the kind of person I'd like to call a friend.
We can be friends.
Yes.
I think you have a lot of wisdom to share with the world, Betty. I'd love to be your friend.
Okay, we're friends.
Conversations and stories between one of our culture's most underutilized natural resources, our elders, and our culture's juniors, those in search of their own juniors, young folks whose own stories are just beginning.
Normally at this point, you would hear Decky say something like, "The following conversations between older adults and younger adults were recorded in a neighborhood, a town, a street." But this is our first season bonus episode, so it's going to be a little bit different. The following conversations between younger adults and slightly less younger adults was recorded via Zoom towards the end of January 2021. This episode is an opportunity for the Homebound team to reflect on and respond to some of our favorite authentic moments from this season's conversations, ultimately resulting in the opportunity to create something new. We landed on a freestyle project where each team member would select 2 to 3 lines of dialogue from the first season and then respond to or build upon those lines by submitting a short piece of poetry. So just for the sake of clarity, what you're about to hear includes each contributor first reading their own poem, followed by some snippets of the team discussing their process together. Thank you so much for listening, and please enjoy.
I didn't bring anything from home. My thing now is to take one day at a time, empty this drawer. Cleaning out memory, a junk drawer of all the miscues, the mistakes, the missed opportunities. There is no guidebook to dust off, unmoor all the weight of the world. And empty this drawer the next day. I wrote Fix My Poem. Because it's interesting because I think we have the prompt, and then I was thinking, you know, I haven't been with this. We haven't been with these works and words for a long time. Mm-hmm. What's the thing that's still in my bones? Like, I still have a lot. You know, sometimes you hear things that they're not of your experience, but then they become your experience. Maybe it's just where we are right now, but it's this, believe it's Rita or is Rita? No, it's Betty. Is it Betty who says, "I don't bring anything from home"? I think it's her. When she talks about her dog, you know, when she goes to the nursing home and she.
Yeah.
She brought nothing.
Yeah.
And she let her daughter just do whatever. Like, what does it mean to leave a lifetime of memory?
Mm-hmm.
And just leave it and maybe be okay with it or acquiesce and realize that the ending of your life, you are kind of in a forced space to leave everything you know. It was actually more heartbreaking to me. And I'm not sure that was intentional. We really like elevated that. But right now in my life, I keep thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why I went back to the poem.
You know, just I remember after that interview, after having that conversation with her, like I couldn't stop thinking about it for like the rest of the day and like into the evening. I was just like,
I don't even know if we used that line, actually, now that I think about it. I'm not actually sure we used it.
We don't.
I don't think we actually used it. But for whatever reason, that's the line that... Because it didn't fit our whatever.
Yeah, we discussed it a bit, though. Like, yeah. There was dialogue about it. And yeah. I think it definitely informed
the
content that was chosen. Because that was a big deal. That is a big deal.
I like that that line can get some attention in this space. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just so wild. Like, you know, we have these conversations like, if the house set on fire, what would you grab?
Right.
And mm-hmm. she, you know, was being completely uprooted and chose, you know, after hope, you know, after lots of thought and contemplation to bring nothing. And like, yeah, it's like there were so many more words there.
To leave nothing. What does that say about? I mean, is it an ending or a beginning? I don't know.
Sure.
That's yeah. interesting.
Yeah. No, there's, I mean, because there's a lot of like, I don't know. I mean, I think about that, like the just kind of the weight of all this stuff, and mm-hmm. there's something to be said about just kind of letting that go. And like, I definitely think about what that would be like sometimes.
Right. Right.
You know, just like let all of this go.
You know, having like just kind of moved it and coffee, I'm just curious to hear like what your thoughts might be about this too. Like, and moving from someplace where I couldn't take everything with me. My room is so small. I don't have space for everything that I had, you know? But I'm curious. Well, I would be curious to talk to Betty and ask her, like, you know, as you get older and with time and experience, you know, like, what do these material possessions mean? Do they still hold that same weight? Or is it the memory that's seared into your brain now because you've gone back to that, you know, photo or that piece of fabric so many times that you don't even need it anymore, you know? Or like, I don't know, because you do have to make choices as to what you keep and what you let go. Mm-hmm. So how do you make those choices?
And I think too, I mean, I think this was Rita and
Rita. Yeah, sorry.
But I just, I think like, I know I've met so many people and I've talked to so many people recently that are kind of like, really following these roads of detachment from possessions. And I talked to someone who said, like, think of how tightly you're gripping the things that you have. And like, if they're weighing you down, like he mentioned a gentleman who was homeless and had nothing and had just been given $20 and then used that $20 to buy him lunch. And just like how lightly he held on to everything, and like what the benefits are of, and like asking ourselves what the benefits are of not holding on to anything too tightly. Yeah. What does that mean? And like, does that make you more open to endings and beginnings? I wonder, what does that mean about how we should live?
Mm-hmm. I mean, do you live more fully when you have nothing?
Yeah.
You live more. I mean, I am probably not that. I'm not Rita at all. I think that's probably what was moving to me. I don't have the courage to do that. Mm. And I let go of a lot of things before I came here. I mean, objects, things that signified starting in one place. But some things I just couldn't. Like, I can't. I mean, there's things that reflected in that. Like, there were things that I wanted to let go of that life, and I let go. I left them there, actually. And people who moved in kept them. Anyway, that's where my poem is on memory.
Well, you have some questions you want to ask me. Let's go. Ceremony and space, waving to each other across the ellipse. Give me my flowers now.
Coffee, I was looking at specifically the word ellipse that felt really purposeful. And I was wondering, I don't know, like why you chose that, because it seems important.
Yeah. So ellipse, it's funny. I was actually thinking, I wrote out the words Mobius strip, but that didn't work. So I said ellipse, but what I was picturing in my head was this Mobius strip.
What's a Mobius strip?
Sorry. It's like it's like a loop that twists, but reconnects. Yep, like it's never ending, yeah. But it's, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I pictured like being almost like that scene in Labyrinth with David Bowie and Jennifer Connelly when like he's standing upright one way and she's like upside down on the other, and they're looking at each other from across this space. And it's so vast, but in a Mobius strip, I imagine it being very dark. And so like part of it's like the technological side of things, like this distance we have from each other, and we're kind of, we're there, but we're not. And we're sort of in the same space, but not experiencing the same thing. And then there was kind of that ellipse to me is also kind of like loneliness on the same path. Like I say this here because I know you guys would kind of understand this, but like earlier I was just flipping through Instagram and I follow Mandy Patinkin and his wife on Instagram, and there's a video of his wife talking, and I shit you not, you guys, she sounds exactly like my mom. Like she has the accent, the tone, the cadence. And it sounded, it hit me so strongly that like I caught myself, like I immediately, like I caught myself closing my eyes and like pretending she was in the room with me for a second. And like, it felt like for a second, like if I reached out, like I'd feel her hands. And like, I've never like, I don't think I've ever like missed someone that much since like, or missed her that much since I was like a toddler and like needed to smell her, you know? So, and that's the ellipse, like that's the Mobius strip, like she's still my mom, and like we're still like on this kind of path, and like we're in these different generations, but you know, all sometimes all you can see and all you can feel is the space. So that's where the ellipse comes from, and I was kind of feeling that with Betty, especially, and Rita, just that distance between like mother and child and between family members, and generations. So yeah, that's where the ellipse comes from.
Now I read it with like, and now it's about your mom. Then I feel it different. It's just reads, you know, with the Betty and Rita, I don't know if it was which one it was, which individual, I know the roommates, but the not, like my son, you know, they're writing their books. They can't come out. They're doing a lot. I don't talk to them a lot. They're very busy. There was a lot of us, like to your point, that they're there, they're present, but they're not really in each other's lives.
Yeah.
You talked about distance, and at one point you had said like distance on the same path. And that really, like that really made me think about how so many people can be sharing an experience or sharing a space or sharing a moment, and they're so isolated. You know what I mean? And how that isolation, you know, it doesn't help. It doesn't make anything better. It isolates the experience to you when there's so much to benefit from reaching out or, you know, trying to wave across the ellipse, you know, to share in that experience as opposed to holding it all yourself.
Yeah. And it's wild to think, I mean, that's part of why I included Miss Terry's line, "Give me my flowers now." I've had to meditate on that a lot. Like I am looking back, especially with like my parents and my family, like years where I chose isolation and like I chose that distance. And in so many ways I'm looking back and I'm like, wow, why would I ever choose that? And I think part of it's being like young and a teenager, you know, and, you know, figuring out who you are.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely being in a space where it's more of a situation of can't than can, it's definitely gives different perspective on it.
This poem is called Time's Line. It's a continuity that I see. I have to accept that we're all different. Perspective is time's gift. Will tensions cool with time? They have interests that I don't have, or perhaps never was able to have. What is possible is subject to time.
I know that when we talked about this exercise, I know I wanted to use my my transcription with Sid, my interview with Sid for this, because I just had such a great time talking to him. And I walked away from that conversation with, like, I don't know, just like a sense that things would be okay, maybe through COVID, maybe through moving, maybe through life and becoming an old man at some point in my life, you know, just like that thing would be okay. Because I mean, Sid had done so many things. He had so many different jobs. He moved. He lived in so many different kinds of places. But something that was so remarkable about him is that he was so open to learning and absorbing wherever he was, in whatever job he was, in whatever space he was. And I think for him, that's really just added a lot of variety and spice to his life, which is fun. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously, going back to what Decky had said earlier, we wrote these a while ago. So revisiting it, I was kind of like, okay, where was my mental space at when I wrote this? And I was very much so thinking, like, because it was near the time the insurrection happened that I wrote this. And I was like, where do we go from here? You know, like, this mess happened. You know, we are hoping that an inauguration is going to happen and that there will be a peaceful transition of power. We're hoping that these vaccines are going to get out there. There's like, there were so many what ifs, and there continue to be many what ifs.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like pulling from his conversation would give something to others that might be able to instill that same sense of okayness, that we'll get through this and we'll get through this and we'll be okay. You know, I think that that was something that I wanted to capture with this poem.
I mean, there is a depth of acceptance with what is. I mean, and that's a lot of the people we talked to. I mean, that's probably the strength of age, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can miss a lot of things. I mean, maybe I'm not old enough to accept everything at this point. So, but I think that Sid is, I think you're right, Puff. Like, I think that, I mean, I have to accept that we're all different. Like, this is a continuity, that this is like the depth of acceptance in order to be. Like, what is
that? Yeah.
What, I mean, you talk about like what a life lived. I mean, you can live at all these different places, but what you really garner from a life lived is hopefully the depth of acceptance. And that allows you to be your most present self potentially.
Gosh, and acceptance and presence, those seem to be such things that, like, as a people, we're struggling with, whether the acceptance of what is currently, the acceptance of what is to come, or the presence of the moment, trying to escape the moment through, you know, technology, drugs, alcohol, entertainment, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah.
I
would add even just sort of that, like, looking forward, you know, I know it feels like a lot of people, probably myself, but a lot of times included right now, are just like, yeah, I can't wait till this is over so I can get back to life. You know, okay, well, like 10 months later, you better be figuring out how to be living, you know?
Living here we are, folks.
Because you can't just hit the pause button. But I think that's a thing that's happening, you know what I mean?
You know, and that's like, I think, a testament. I mean, this project in some ways is that. Like, it is not trying to forward something. It's trying to capture what is.
Mm-hmm.
and reflect on its impact and value of trying to frame it right and elevate it and illuminate it. So, and there's a, like, there's a risk in that too. And there's a tension in that. And, but there's also this like, wow, if you, I mean, we're talking with people that are, that have had a really life lived and are living and are in a present space. Right.
Yeah.
I know one of our like frequent questions was like, if there's one thing you had the opportunity to do, what would it be? And almost everyone I talked to said, I don't have that. And I wondered if that was just like a part of being that age. And Tyler, that line, all that is possible.
Yeah.
What is possible is subject to time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wonder if that's like, if that's the awareness that's at play there in those kinds of answers and exchanges, like people's either reluctance to answer or their excitement to answer. I mean, Decky, Ryan and I have been like talking nonstop. Like we've named 70 children and enacted like 80 diet homeschooling plans. Like... it's all like we spend half our day in the future and like it's because we are in this space where like we have all this in our heads, we have all this time and there's so much possibility subject to it. So that's interesting, you know, how where you are on on the Mobius strip,
how that
changes your the way you see it.
Started teaching me. I didn't realize a lot of them passing. I would have to mourn. Some of them met at arm's length, whoever it was, however it was you ever been. Okay. We're friends. So the couple of lines I pulled out, I think, since the beginning of this project, my fascination with like connection and disconnection have kind of been where my brain has been, impossible for me to get away from, I guess, you know? So that first, I think it's Margaret talking about when she lived in Texas and like couldn't get, I think she was talking about not being able to get a landline and like how, when you got no line, it's hard to make friends, you know? And like that, like there's, like that's literally it's kind of sad and terrifying, but also like it just seemed so. It seemed like the best line that described where the situation was. You know, you're already isolated, and now there's this COVID, and there's this really high bar for some people of technology to communicate. And then if you are able to make that technology work, it doesn't work for you, and there's the disconnection that happens, and there's the Zoom distortion, and all those things. It just felt really difficult, right? But then the Eric and Betty conversation about being friends. I liked the other side of that, which is like we've talked a little bit about this sort of leveling that's happened. You know, like everybody's isolated, everybody's having trouble communicating, everybody's forced to use these very imperfect methods of communication, and that's like a thing to connect over, right? Like that's this thing that we suddenly all have in common that we didn't have any. You know, you suddenly have that in common with everyone you're talking to, regardless of their age and where they're from. And there's something sort of like kind of beautiful about that. And so that's kind of where it came from. Like those two lines are that thing that's been in my brain the whole time, you know? So I just kind of was picking lines about just conversations about friends and family that I thought could be little connective moments between people. But the other part of it is that exchange with Eric and Betty, I liked thinking about the idea that, you know, I think of, I guess friendship, or I tend to think of friendship as something that's like built up over long periods of time. But the idea that you can be friends for like a day, or in this case, like friends for a conversation or a sentence, you know, is awesome. I feel like this value that comes out of this project and this exercise, you know, like for a moment there was this like friendship that happened, and that was important, and that felt really kind of lovely. when I heard it, you know?
So do you know what the Kaddish is in like Hebrew? Have you ever heard the mourner's Kaddish?
I feel like I know the word, but I don't know.
So every time somebody passes or somebody's leaving, you say the Kaddish, and it's like this prayer to not just to help somebody travel, but to like just recognize the value of this life. And your piece reminded me of a Kaddish, actually. It's really deep. I don't like it. Actually, just it made me weep a little bit. This whole idea of, I don't know if it's missed our opportunity, but you don't realize, you know, the possibilities right in front of you, and then you look away. You just look for a second, right, and that person might pass, and then you're like, wait, I think we had this, right?
Yeah, and that's what's cool about feeling like you have this, like having this realization, like, yeah, they were friends for that. They were friends for that sentence, maybe. Okay. And like, yeah. That's a cool, like, that makes me feel great. You know, the idea that like, maybe there's something you thought of as a missed opportunity, or maybe something you thought of that could have been, should have been more, but like, maybe that regret can be let go of a little bit. Cause like, maybe you were friends for that moment, and that was just fine and what it was supposed to be, I guess.
Have you ever read The Little Prince?
No.
Storybook. There's a scene in the book where the little prince meets a fox and they spend the day playing and frolicking through the fields. And the fox decides it's time to part ways. And I think it's the fox that says, "Oh, I'm going to cry." And the prince says, "Well, if it hurts so much, you know, why are we friends with anyone at all if it's just going to end?" And the fox says, "It's because for the rest of my life, I'll always have the wheat fields that will remind me of your hair. And like, anytime I see a wheat field, it will be you." And he explains, she, the fox, explains to the little prince that they've tamed each other, even if just being together for a day, they've tamed each other so that whenever she sees, you know, she sees little boys all the same, but now she has a little boy that she recognizes amongst all of them.
That's wonderful.
It's one of the most beautiful things about friendship I've ever read. And it is like the almost, I try to make sure to read it to all of like my students that I have, like on the first day, but like, that's exactly what that reminded me of, like the value of even like a moment of passing.
Say, I really like that this poem has that moment of like, are we friends? Yeah, we're friends. Because it was such a like, I don't know, it was such a pure moment listening to all of these interviews. It was just like, oh, this is so good. Yeah. You know, like, even though there's so much crap that's happening in the world, like, this is a moment of honest connection, honest, authentic, you know, connection sparked out of, you know, keen curiosity and interest and friendliness.
So funny. It's so funny that I found it kind of sad, and maybe it's because it's the fleeting moment of friendship. And you found it so hopeful.
Yeah, I thought it was so inspirational.
It's so interesting because I was like, oh, it's gone. And you're like, well, it was there. And so it's, I think that's really a really beautiful thing that encapsulates this whole thing, that in one moment, that one, we call them those authentic moments, could be moments of just like great hope from one perspective and great non-hope or sadness from another. And it's so interesting that maybe because of where I am, I read it differently. And saw that interesting. And now I see the fact that, yeah, why wouldn't that moment they had a friendship? And that is like hope in this world. Team includes mixer and maestro Eric E-Rock Mini, conceptualizer and creative Jessica Decky Alexander, that's me,
Production team Savant's Captain Coffee Burns and Tyler Poff Calhoun. Original music by E-Rock. Homebound Podcast is a project of Limelight, a little company focused on illuminating big ideas on the stage and through sound. This Homebound Podcast is funded in part by Generations United. Special thanks to Abby Lawrence Jacobs, Carrie Steinig, Gilbert House, EMU Family Empowerment Program, and the Ypsilanti Senior Center.
In every neighborhood, town, and street, there are worlds within worlds, spanning generations and time. So take some time and connect, catch up, swap stories and memories, make new ones, even if you're homebound. Interested in having Homebound come to your neighborhood and create conversations between olders and youngers? Connect with us at limelightlive.org/homebound and never miss an episode by subscribing to Homebound wherever you listen to your podcasts. And while you're there, leave a rating and a review to let us know what you think of the show. Keep the conversations going with us on social media. We're Limelight LLC on Facebook and at Homebound Radio on Twitter and Instagram.